You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
All right, it is Thursday, May 19th, 2016, year of our Lord. I'm really excited. I have an old fakeologist who went out and did her own show, and now she's with the Clues Chronicles. I have the world-renowned, the world-famous, one of my favorite people on the whole flat or spherical earth, Kay Ham of Kay Ham Radio. Hello, Kay.
Hello, Ab. Nice to hear you. Nice to be with you today.
So glad you're back. Everyone thought you just didn't stand fakeologist anymore. And we were all worried that, well, maybe nobody was worried. I was worried that maybe there was something I said or it was just too much flat talk for you. But hopefully we have, I think, enough in common that we can just keep talking, keep a dialogue, and maybe convince one of one view or another. But in the meantime, I still think we have
keep it on 9/11.
We have too much in common. We have so much more in common with each other than I think with the outside world.
And you know what? You're true, and so does people with agendas. We have more in common with controlled opposition than with anyone else.
Yes, we do.
We sometimes enjoy talking with them.
Yeah, well, right? I think we will talk to anybody that is sort of on our page. I agree, and that is a fact of the research that we do. It is just so fringe. I think it's always going to be fringe, and we will attract only professional disruptors because they're the only ones that would bother looking into this disruptive research.
Right.
Everything we talk about is disruptive to the way people see things. Everything.
The paradigm, yeah. The paradigm must not be disrupted, or we will disrupt you.
Yes. For instance, how do you answer someone that says, "Kay, I just heard that a plane went down in the Mediterranean. Isn't it awful, Kay, that all those people died? Think of all their families and the loss. How are we going to fight these terrorists, Kay?" And what do you say to someone like that?
I think like what Chris Kendall said, he was in one of his last podcasts, he's like, a million things happen a day, a million things, but they only report on a few and they become the entire worldview for the whole world focuses on just those few things. Just think about that.
In other words, today we cannot think of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. We have to take a break from them and concentrate on a plane that went down. That is what the day's menu is.
Does that
for us
mean
today.
Is it? Does that mean Bernie's ahead and people don't want them talking about it? Or does that mean what's the purpose of that? Going on there.
The purpose of the plane crash? Well, I think there are intelligence agencies that work hard on creating a phony reality, and every now and then they have to put on an exhibition of their hard work because they are being paid.
Right.
Like an artist, he needs his exhibits. Otherwise, you forget about him. Like a cop has to give out tickets. Otherwise, commander's going to say, "What have you been doing all day? How can you prove to me you've been doing anything?" Right?
Mm-hmm. It's
tell
so
me
weird,
what you've been
though.
Doing today.
For me,
well, that's
I
why.
Have...
Yes, go.
Everybody? No, because so what? Were you asking people to what?
Well, I'm just saying, if someone came up to you and asked you, "What's your take on the Egypt plane crash? Isn't it awful?" What do you say to them? I'm talking about non-fakeologists.
Right. What do you say?
Hey, I'm asking the questions here, Kay.
Oh, I just you just say that is so sad, isn't it? I pray for their families and just move on.
Oh, okay. So you're not, you don't address it really.
No. I might say, you know, I didn't know anybody on that flight. So I pray. I just move on. Or Rochelle and I, we talked about, like, we had a conversation. How can you talk to people not in your same ear, right? For fakeology.
Yeah.
So she said, we came up with some words, and one of hers was to say something like, isn't that scary? Isn't that terrifying? Wasn't that sad? Always so sad. Kind of like admitting what's going on and, you know, revealing the bigger pattern, you know, making it kind of obvious.
Well, I think that's something that's a neutral statement. I don't think that's provocative at all. I don't think it, unfortunately, it doesn't further any understanding of the fact that I think the news is controlled and manufactured in a really insidious way. It's not reporting, it's manufacturing. That's the difference. There's no point in trying to convince someone that, oh, the news is always negative because the slogans, if it leads, it bleeds. Everyone in the mainstream understands that we can't show a story of a Boy Scout helping an old lady across the street because no one would care. So really, just by saying it that way, I don't think you're moving the ball forward, and we're not provoking people to think a little more clearly on the fact that the news is manufactured by intelligence agencies and sold as real to move society a certain way and to create laws. That really is the bottom line for me. So someone asked me today, what I thought, isn't it awful? And that person was considering going to that region on a vacation. And I said, well, I only know a couple things. I only know the headline about the story. And I only know one thing that was pointed out by people that I like to talk to that are researching the veracity of these stories. And what do you think of the fact that it's been 804 days since the MH370 story was in the news? 804 days, and what do you think about the fact that this is flight 804? Is that just a coincidence? And if you're really interested in coincidences, I can show you a website that has all kinds of other evaluations of the numbers around this particular event, even before we go into the emotional stories.
Then.
Yeah, go ahead, ask me two things.
What is the significance of the numbers?
The numbers is an in-your-face signature, Mason Feedy, I call it. Say, listen, this whole thing is not a coincidence. You cannot engineer necessarily these things to fit numbers. You have to create a fiction starting with the numbers, because if you're creating a fiction from scratch, it's quite easy to do these things. Whereas if you were actually making a real event and influencing a real event, and taking a real plane, it would probably take way more work, and of course, real people would be hurt. But really, it is just, I think, just a signature, like an artist signed something, being all kinds of clues to show that they're in control, they can flaunt all kinds of numbers, and you're going to accept it because there's not a damn thing you can do about altering people's perception as to whether it's real or not. That's how I look at it. I don't think any number holds any power. I don't believe any of that. But
have they go ahead. Finish your thought, then I'll write this down.
I'm done on that thought. And I did put a couple links, and I'm sure cluesforum.info is going to have a whole thread on this too, just showing the different stories and pictures as they bleed out. I haven't looked at one thing today. I've been too busy walking around in the sun today. And I don't even want to know. They don't need to know, because this is a template. It goes on and on and on and on and on. I can't consume myself with it, because there are real people and real things
analyzing.
To do.
Yeah,
it never ends. I won't give it a moment's notice. I'll let others do it. I'm happy to look at their work, but go ahead with your thought. How you been?
Good. Oh yeah, I've been good. My daughter just got married, so. That was amazing. That was beautiful.
It's nice to see people are still getting married.
Yep. So it was a rather grand affair.
Wow. You were the grand dame of the affair?
I was. It was wonderful. I took to the role. Let's just say that. Joking. So back to the number thing. The more I research, right, the fakery stuff, the more I realize I see a pattern of things being done on purpose. So it's like Lennon Honor says, they put stuff in videos so that you will find it, to make sure you find it, because they always know they're going to have a dissenting voice. So basically, consider that maybe these numbers, like the PSYOP waving its hand going, hey, over here, look, I'm fake. Some shit's, look at me. Hey, don't miss me. I'm about this thing is manipulated. Look at me over here. So, of course, we see it because it's obvious. They're not hiding anything. We start paying attention to them, and we start following their debate and their framed paradigm. And that's the thing with, I noticed with controlled opposition, is that they're the first ones out of the gate. They control the story before you even hear about it. So they've already, how do you get the video out so fast? Even Rollo, like Gypsy, how do you get that video out? How happen? How do you even know it happened? And then they made it and put it out.
Yeah, I assume you're, okay. That's fair, but some of the videos like
that, they're framing the debate for you.
Oh, I get it, but I can make a comment on a forum the next minute and lay out some of the things that I see within a minute. I can do that pretty easily, and I don't consider myself controlled in any way. I'm not sure that's a really great clue.
Are available 24.
Say again, you're breaking up.
Occur every time, every up. I mean, look at the Jeff C. He's like right on the money.
Who's this?
Jeff C's like right on the money, man. He gets that thing out first and foremost every.
Oh, I don't follow
Jeff C. You know,
Jeff
his videos?
I don't follow him. I don't follow him, so I don't know.
Well, I just did some research on him. So he is first one out the gate every damn time. He's framing the debate for us.
Well, he's framing it for anyone who's. Okay, he's framing it for whoever follows it. Personally, yeah, he's not on my list of people that I follow, so he can't frame it for me. He can frame it for whoever follows him, but.
Yeah, well, it all trickles around, so he's part of that group. They all pay attention to each other.
Well, maybe so. I still think, Kay, that the internet is really vast. I pick the people I try and follow, and of course, there's a bias right then and there, because I'm biased to the people I follow. And it's just to the best of my ability that I follow them and try and sort out what I tend to agree with. That's all I can do. I don't follow CNN. I don't follow the official news outlets. I don't even follow the Red Cross anymore. I don't give them a nickel.
Because
they're distributing money to, they say they're distributing money to people that are involved in what I consider fake events. And I'm not going to pass my money to them. And I would love not to pass any money to the IRS, but I'm not sure how I can do that without having a huge problem. The Red Cross I can withhold from.
Right. My phone. Isn't it sad, though, when you realize the people you've been giving money to aren't legit?
Of course. It's sad that the people that we elect, that we think are on our side, are on the other side. They're on the dark side. That's sad, too. Now what? I'm living in their controlled lands, and they control all the land. What am I going to do about it? They control all the land everywhere.
Right. You just live and do your own thing. That's all you can do.
You do your own thing in their framework, though. They frame everything, right?
Yeah,
everything. Every part of your life.
But you know what? Lennon Honor, I'm going to keep quoting him because I don't want to pretend it's my idea. You know, listen or don't, I don't care. But I don't want to, like, take credit for his awesome ideas.
You like but Lennon Honor. You follow him a lot.
Yeah, I can really see the patterns that he recognizes. I'm like, wow, yeah, that really seems to be what's going on. Yeah. You know, it seems to match.
Is he framing things for you?
Well, everyone's framing, yeah. Yeah, he's framing it in a way of, you know, it's fake.
How does he pass the 9/11 Vic Sims litmus test?
He doesn't talk so much about the fakery, but what it does to you. He's really after the fakery kind of deal. That's what he talks about, like how you are. The whole purpose of the fakery in the first place is to emotionally manipulate you, to get you to go along with the program. So that's the aspect he deals with. Because I really like it because it's one level above the actual fakery part.
But why do you have to deal with it if you consider it all fake? Why do we even have to think about it?
Because
don't you find it easy to deal with these things if there's no emotional attachment because nobody dies, nobody gets hurt?
Well, it is easier, but does it hold the data? Do the numbers match that? I don't know. I just, whatever the data shows,
I don't know why I have to worry about my emotions if we're talking about scripted event, a movie. I don't get upset when Iron Man smashes Captain America's head open. It doesn't bother me. I know it's not true. I don't
right,
even
you
think
already
about
went
it for,
through that pain. That
I don't
pain
think
suffering.
About it for Doesn't one it? Minute. Therefore, any of the players in these major media events, I don't think about them for a second. I don't feel any
so
pain.
So you're lucky. You were able to free yourself. That's lucky.
But why doesn't Lennon Honor, you follow him. So why do we need to deal with all this emotion when he could just say, listen, don't get involved in what I think are fake events. Don't you
think that's what he says. He says it's the global motion picture show. And so he says, don't pay attention to it. It has nothing to do with your life whatsoever. You don't know those people. They don't know you. They don't care what you're doing. Why should you care what they're doing? Of course, nobody wants suffering in the world. Nobody does. He's like, you know, they put these ideas before us for an agenda. They're using you emotionally to get what they want. So you shouldn't pay attention to it. That's his take on it. Free yourself, like you said, emotionally.
Yeah. Well, my only criticism of Lennon Honor, from what I know of him, and I don't follow him other than what we've discussed in the past with him directly and a few of his videos, that I think it's really important to acknowledge the absolute entire level of fakery in all these events. And then you still need some emotional coaching, then that's fine. But unless
well,
he acknowledges.
Used to.
Yeah.
He does, you know, quite a bit of acknowledgement of, you know, facts when they're in your face. But, you know, when you get down to the nitty gritty, it's divisive. It divides people because then now you can start debating these little tiny facts. And he says, that's not what I'm about. Little facts. I'm
well,
about
I don't.
Th- the
I
whole
don't think
pattern.
It's, see, well, he's doing. Framing it in his way. I don't think it's a tiny fact if nobody dies. I think that's the main fact.
Yeah, I don't know what he thinks. I guess I could email him. Did you think people died on 9/11? You know, will he engage me? I don't know. Maybe.
I know you're very sensitive to gatekeepers and controlled opposition, and that would be important to me for sure. Because again, there's nothing to talk about on 9/11 if you don't think the people that were told were killed were not killed. And almost all the new characters that have come on the scene in the last year, they pretty much accept the 9/11 victim story, all of it, all 3,000. That's a number they toss around as if it was a known fact. And tossing that around is the same as agreeing that nuclear bombs are real to me. That is the nuclear bomb of the whole event to me. Nothing else matters other than that.
That's the guide right there. That's the watermark.
The story, we have a lot of shootings we're told where we live here in Toronto, actually within 5 miles of where I am right now. We're told that in these housing projects, where really you can consider people in housing projects, subsidized housing, somewhat victimized by society in the sense that they just they just rely on the support, and they're not going to say or do anything to jeopardize their already compromised position of relying on the state to have a place to live. And sometimes they have to create really dramatic stories to get our attention. And the last story, I didn't even post on it. Because I wasn't, I just have been a little lackadaisical about it. But we're told that a woman that had 5-month-old fetus in her was shot to death while she was sitting in a car, and that the 5-month-old, they were able to keep it alive, and it survives to this day. So they take the most egregious emotional story that they can possibly dream up, and put it out there. And they don't support it properly with common sense facts. They don't dwell on any of the details because they know the story would probably fall apart under any kind of scrutiny. And they just dwell on just the emotional angle of the thing to the complete ignoring of the illogical fact of the whole story. That, for instance, a fetus would survive for any amount of time if the mother was shot to death. It's just, it biologically is not possible. And I do know basic biology.
Yeah, once the heartbeat stops of the mother, the fetus is
got 4 minutes.
Gonna suffocate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got 4 minutes, like your brain. Your brain has 4 minutes before you're brain dead, right? 4 minutes. Yeah. No oxygen in 4 minutes, you're gone.
Right, because the placenta changes the blood out. So the baby gets its oxygen from the mother's blood. So maybe 8 minutes. Does the baby have minutes? Maybe.
I don't see how they would. I don't see how
they would. Because the baby's heart's still going, and the baby, through the placenta, the baby grabs oxygen from the mother. So the baby's already it's all oxygened up when the mother dies, and will continue to take some oxygen from the blood, which might actually make the mom die faster. Ooh.
Well, I think the brain of the mother would get the oxygen first, because without the brain. I think it's all a pretty,
like a survival kind of thing.
I think it's all one very homeostatic system. In other words, everything is equal throughout the system. I don't think that there's an end of the oxygen train in the body. I think it's it moves pretty fast.
That's true.
I think the whole body. I think 4 minutes is actually a long time.
Yeah.
For anything to survive. But anyway, the point is that they create the most dramatic emotional story.
Yeah. It's a horrific story. We're talking about it like we're doctors, you know, but it's horrific. And most people won't even go there. They don't even want to. They have to just accept that it's true and move on.
I know. It's so distasteful.
To avoid discussing it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so distasteful a topic. And just questioning it is somebody says it is disrespectful. I don't see how it is, but they've just put the idea out that it is. So because the idea is already out there, then people don't discuss it, because that's what they're told is proper. Okay, can you just give me 2 minutes here, if you don't mind?
All right.
Sorry about that. I'm back.
Hello. But isn't that all part the injured baby story, baby in peril, pregnant mother? Isn't that all part of the fear-based mind control program that we have? I mean, it's a very effective tool. What do you think they say that fake thing, like fear sells? Fear doesn't sell. People hate fear. Given a choice, people will choose what feels good, not what feels bad. Fear doesn't sell. There's such a lack of good feeling movies on TV and in the movie theater. They'll make you feel like shit. Why is that? People don't want to feel that way. They want to feel good. What's going on?
Yeah, actually related somewhat to what you just said. I was listening to a guy on YouTube called Pockets of the Future, who's a bit of a philosopher in India. I don't know if you've looked at any of the videos I posted on Fakeologist.com from the guy.
Yes, I have a few on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you. Oh, you still got the old radio knack there. Good for you. He was saying how airports used to be an exciting place to go. Everyone who was there had a lot of positive energy, because everyone at the airport that's not working is about to go somewhere on a pretty magical vehicle. And now with after 9/11, because of the thick level of security, where humiliation is the name of the game when it comes to inspecting people, it's a very stressful place to go now. And they've literally transformed the energy from positive to negative with just, of course, the one excuse that we call 9/11. And isn't it a tremendous achievement to be able to turn something completely upside down in just a number of years?
Right. I mean, why wouldn't you be excited to go on a trip, this vacation you've been planning your whole life?
Yeah, but they make it such an ordeal and the hours and hours waiting and tripping down and just showing everything you've got to strangers. It's just interesting that we talk about how they've basically zapped the energy of positivity.
Right.
Yeah.
I choose to be patted down, by the way.
Okay.
I'm like, nope, pat me down. I want to pat down. Sorry. Do you know what I discovered going on through the airport security several times on trips and things? I don't think those machines work. I don't think they're doing anything. I was avoiding them because I thought I'd get radiated. I'm like, fucking radiation. A nuclear bomb doesn't exist, right? You're going to have these idiots operating a radioactive machine. I don't think it does anything. I think they're all fake machines. They look good, but they got no insides. And I have several instances that have been proven me right.
I think you are onto something with that thought. they scared me because I thought I was being irradiated as well. But I have to agree with you. I think they're very overly expensive machines by design to make you think that they have some magical stuff in them that can, and they say it's harmful to scare you. And I would agree that it could all be one big fat lie about those machines. In what they do or do to you, and I have flipped on that as well. I used to avoid them just because I thought they were burning holes in our cells, but now I tend to think that what you think.
But I'm proven right all the time. Like my sister was going through the thing, and they go in the machine. I'm watching, and it lights up where her wrist is, but she's got a long sleeve shirt, and the lady's like, "Oh, she's got a bracelet." Pass her through, and then she did the wand on her, and it lit up at her wrist again. Oh, it's the bracelet. All right, let her through. And then we get to the other side, and my sister lifts up her shirt. There's nothing there. No bracelet. Never had. There's no metal anywhere near her arm. Both of those were false readings.
Well, I'm thinking if these machines are so effective and you're a woman, you could get a mammogram for free right there.
Right? I'll get my free mammogram. But here's the weird thing. The thing that lights up is only at the wrist, the necklace, and like the, it doesn't like, it can't move or decide where to light up next. It only lights up at certain obvious jewelry spots. Bell buckle lit up, necklace, earrings lit up, but it didn't have a light for every spot on the body. So what the hell's that even? What is that?
So what is it doing? What is it doing?
It's a pretend machine.
Yeah. Is it the ultimate security theater device?
Yes, I think so.
Is it a giant video game?
I think so. That's why their employees are so dumb and untrained. Because all they're doing is operating a video game. They can't tell the difference between that and reality.
Well, I don't want to think they're dumb and untrained. They're actually fairly well paid, I think, vis-a-vis other security guards.
Yeah, that was mean of me. But I want to say lower on the intellectual level than maybe work than, you know, most of the society that might be able to discern what's going on.
Well, even if they knew what was going on, what are they going to do about it? They're just going to go along to get along. They have to be paid, and they're not going to... You think they're going to have a pamphlet saying this machine's all bunkum and 9/11 was a hoax? No, come on. They're there for a paycheck.
Right, and they like the job, and they think it's super important. They're super proud to be helping out America.
Yeah, I don't think it's useful to go after the low level, ground level troops and all these things. I think.
But you know what? They have a purpose though. Their purpose is that they're not going to figure it out, and they're a certain training level. I noticed, you know, they're like to be a TSA, it's a 6-month training course to be a TSA dude at the airport.
Yeah, well, maybe that's all overkill as well. Do we really? Maybe that's just a length that they chose just to make it seem like they're really doing something other than hiring just a security guard, because that's all there used to be at the airports before. And I even hear that there's a lot of airports that want to throw the TSA out and go back to the old way. I don't know if they have the authority. I guess they'll lose the federal money. That's always the way the United States works, that federal.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the money. You want the funding for your school, for your infrastructure, for your security. You got to do the federal program. You want the highway money. You got to do this.
And the recent slowdown. I went to Vegas a couple weeks ago for my daughter's bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We were an hour and 45 minutes in the damn security line. And I heard we had relatives coming in from New York and Minnesota. And they were experiencing the exact same slowdown. So it's an obvious slowdown to gain money. I mean, clearly, because it's all, even if you listen to No Agenda, they're like, it's a purposeful slowdown so that they can get more funding.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's logical.
Right. It was a freaking nightmare. These dudes are, it's like the one machine. There's a machine where, you know, have you been wiped when you're standing in that security line yet?
Yeah, I got wiped. Once they just take a swab, they just take a some kind of cotton tissue and swab you, and then run it through some kind of machine to detect gunpowder. I think, yeah.
In it was a flat little thing that they swabbed you, and then you're right. They put it in this like a tongue, and then they put it in machine. These are doing, except that they watch it and it turns on, then they know what to do next. I have no idea what it's about. It's detecting something. And I'm like, she had it. She's like, I'm not sure, but it's da-da-da. And I asked her, well, I'm highly allergic. What's in it? I don't know. What are the chemicals in it? Oh, I don't know. But okay. Then she swabbed my clothing instead of my arm. So. But she didn't know what she's doing. She has no idea what it is. I mean, they're not curious. They just do this, put it there, and watch the light.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't fault them for that, though. They're just there doing a job. I don't blame the guy at McDonald's. Hamburger,
because
he didn't source the meat.
Right?
He's flipping the burger.
Them.
Yeah, I never blame.
They're
I think
happy
it's crazy.
To have a job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I never target the ground level guy. I know he's just a drone. It'd be stupid to. But they know the system is set up in a way that you can't really affect any change. It's a system. It can't be altered from one incident, unless it's a dramatic thing, but that's how society works, and that's why PSYOPs are created. These are grand stagecraft events. It's the only way you can get people to change their ideas and make them submissive.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. So at the airport, like all ready for Vegas, you know, woohoo, we got some like purple sunglasses on, and as we're standing waiting in line, me and my two daughters and then our two friends. So, you know, we're kind of excited. Yeah. And then we're standing there and we hear this yelling kind of going on, you know, where they stamp your ticket. So we're almost is where you do all the scanning. You take your shoes off, put your stuff on in those white buckets and on the belt. We get up there. We hear what the guy's saying. You have any Kleenex in your pocket? Take it out. You're going to cause a false reading down the process. No Kleenex, absolutely nothing in your pocket. I'm like, really? Really? A Kleenex gives you a false reading? What kind of machines do you have? Are they just density detectors? I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
A Kleenex throws your machine off. A Kleenex. Well, we're in big trouble then. I don't think they're detecting what they think they're detecting.
Yeah, well, I think most people would agree it's all security theater.
Yeah, I think so. The whole thing.
It's just a really suck
the
life.
They do have the X-ray box, but yeah.
Yeah, there's certain real technologies, but yeah, it's just a really just reinforce the terrorist myth, and it's just a real tangible, real practical way of making people remember false paradigm that they're given, the whole terrorist myth.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Hey, since we got you back on the audio chat and welcome back, Kay, to the audio chat, by the way.
Oh, I thank you. It's a pleasure.
The Postal Service, who's a YouTuber that Simon says created himself to emulate and discredit Simon's social service ban, which is quite possibly true. He did a YouTube on the Iron Dome in Israel, and he was showing some of the shenanigans between Palestinians and the IDF. Or the IAF, the Israeli Aggressive Force. And I was just wondering if you got a chance to see that and what your take is on the whole situation. Is there a lot of fakery going on mainly the Israeli side, since they probably create the opposition that is the whatever the organization is to represent the Palestinians. Just wondering what your take is on what level of fakery is going on there. Did you see that video?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I should watch it. Like, well, from events that show up. Yeah. See, I think there's two different things going on, though. I think there's this systematic downgrading of the Palestinian people on one hand, then there's media events on the other hand. And I think they're separate. Like, I remember my husband used to give to all these Palestinian charities because he's Palestinian back in Palestine. And every year we're like, hospital. What? They closed down another year. Israel closed the university. What? You know, school after hospital, the Israelis closing down in Palestine. I mean, they're systematically dismantling right out. So that's real. The suffering is real that creates.
Yeah.
And anytime it's a media all out blitz, I mean, haven't we already heard that the media is a controlled campaign, like the global motion picture stage show. So then it's kind of hard to figure out in that sense what's real and what's not. But I know what is real. I know that all these training programs in these universities got shut down. I know all these factories in Palestine got shut down. So we have a bunch of young men with nothing to do and no way to support a family. I know that's true.
Yeah. What's happening in Syria? They're definitely destroying all the infrastructure. And it was a fairly independent country, including their own cars. And I know a Syrian who is in touch with the people they know back home. And it definitely was crony capitalism going on in Syria. For instance, if you wanted a mall built, then almost every contractor, there was a bidding process, but in the end, it was the buddies of whoever ran the thing that would get all the contracts. So it was, if you want to call that corrupt, that's how business is or was done in Syria. So all that's being destroyed right now, I would say, in exchange for a globalist business model, which will be probably imposed and set for the rebuilding of Syria when and if they ever do that.
Yeah, it's weird though, you know, because it's hard to know what's true and what's not true, you know, with the whole Syria thing.
Oh, it's impossible to know. But I believe there is definitely wholesale destruction of the country going on.
So it's like Iraq. So they have a reason to rebuild and people make money. And
yeah. Yes, definitely.
Perhaps.
And essentially, and they just take the people that were opposed to the dictator. And he was, by all accounts, the new guy is a more benevolent dictator than his father, a little watered down version, Western educated. But he's still a dictator, and there's definitely, if there's a dictator, there's always going to be an opposition. And if you want to promote the upheaval of the country, you're going to take whoever's opposed to the dictator for whatever their reasons are and use them in your campaign to turn everything upside down and blow it up. That makes sense. You can call them whatever you want. Opposition, ISIS, whatever you want to call them, but you're going to use mm-hmm. them for your purpose.
Right.
But anyway,
I think it's just a story. I think ISIS is just a story, and they're just going in and doing whatever the hell they want. Because there's like no proof of ISIS, except for what, you know, the media tells us is proof of ISIS. You know, like all these Syrians, what they say is ISIS, you know what they know? What's their proof? Watching CNN on TV. That's their proof.
Yep.
Guess what news the Middle Eastern people watch? People. Arab CNN. The same damn news we are. So information is not from first-hand experience either. It's just like us. We, the world now. It's global news. All these populations were hooked into the same damn network. There's no, everyone's got this exact same paradigm going. Really? So it's like, I was at a Syrian's house. We were having dinner and the mother-in-law was watching TV, Syrian TV. And she's sitting there on a chair watching TV and she's so sad. They're Syrians and she's watching the destruction of her homeland. Her and her husband, you know, were well educated in upper society kind of thing. And, you know, once they left, they couldn't go back because they heard of all the bad news. And they didn't experience it firsthand, but they heard it. So they just, they're old anyway, so probably they should stay here. But she's sitting in front of the TV and she's so sad. She just wants, it's like, I felt like it was me after 9/11, you know? Just sat in front of the TV. Any information I need, all the information I can. I have to figure out what to do here. I need so your information gathering. She's the same thing.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of that TV, just soaking it in. She's just mortified. But what's she looking at? She's watching basically CNN, the same pictures we get. Can't be verified by anybody. Is this thing really happening? Is there independent verification? There's no independent Arab news team on the ground gathering data. It's all damn the same network, CNN. And you know what? It flips every 15 minutes. It repeats itself. So she's watching this for 2 hours. She's getting the story 8 times. What kind of mind control is that?
Oh, it's repetition.
And it's the same. ISIS executed people here. And it's a truck with blood on, you know, it's like someone was shot in front of the truck, so blood splattered. and made bullet holes to the truck door. And it's a white pickup truck, of course. So, you know, with the bright red blood. I'm like, that blood wouldn't be bright red after all this time. It'd be brown. I'm like, false news. But these people, and they're watching it. They're horrified. She's like, oh, my God. What's this ISIS doing? Who are these ISIS? I never met these ISIS before. They come to my country. Now everybody is scared of ISIS. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like New York residents got all their views of 9/11, even though they were right there through the television.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The images.
Everybody went home and they turned down that TV.
Yeah, the ones that were allowed to stay home. Yeah, the Manhattanites were probably evacuated.
Ooh,
so they didn't have a chance to look till later.
I wonder who was evacuated. How many apartments? Do we know how many apartment buildings?
I don't know, but I believe that they were definitely walking across those bridges out.
At one point?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, if you're evacuating people, yeah. But it's,
yeah, and if there's, yeah.
They have like, how come we don't see videos of that? That's weird. Is that even on the internet anymore?
I think so. If the transportation system was shut down, it was a nice day. They were probably all walking out, told to evacuate.
Day. Clear, not a cloud in the sky. Twas the clear day of 9/11. Such a good fairy tale, isn't it? That way they all start out the same thing. And Rochelle and I were joking. That's how you know it's a controlled opposition you're speaking to, because that's the first thing they say. Because they got to bring up that memory right away to start the program running in your brain.
I haven't heard from Rochelle lately. How's she doing?
Good.
She's been quiet, too.
Sorry. Oh, that's good. Yeah, she's busy. She works in steel.
So yeah,
that chick
she
is
so.
Busy. Yeah.
Good.
And guess what? They got them doing classes all the time if they want to get more money. So she's got to sit in all these boring classes hour after hour listening to these idiots go on about stuff she already knows how to do, but she's still required to sit in the class and get those hours. Otherwise, she can't get a raise in pay. So it's hard to like dissent when you have to keep taking classes after a hard day working the steel.
Yeah, they're doing that here with car mechanics. They can't, if they don't have their high school, they can't become an apprentice anymore.
Oh, really? Why would that matter?
Well, I guess the excuse is cars are so complicated. You have to be able to punch a computer to read the computer, even though the computer just says change part A, change part B. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But that's something new here where I live in Ontario.
Yeah,
the one guy. Yeah. So they're taking a pretty basic level job and making it complicated.
It's tough. We got a Beamer recently and, oh my God, programming, it's a nightmare. Thank God for the Russian black market.
Oh, do explain.
They're the ones that figure out how to break the codes and stuff. Because BMW, they got a stranglehold on all their software. And if you're not under warranty, it's like $5,000 a year to get an update.
Be careful. Because, yeah, I've heard stories about how they copyright the software. So if you alter it, you're screwed. Just like iPhones. You know, you rent your, you don't own it. You don't own the software. You can't alter it. Well, you can alter it, but you can't expect them to fix it if you alter it. And it does make sense in a way. If you alter the software, how do they know what you've done?
Right. So, you know, but you can jailbreak it and then unjailbreak it and you're fine. I know a bunch of Arabs who are always jailbreaking it and then jailbreaking it. Whatever they need to do, make it work and save money.
Mm-hmm.
They're more adventurous than we're like rule followers. You can't. It's against the law. It's against the codes. They're like, well, whatever. I'll do it. I don't care so much about obeying corporate rules.
Well, I don't look at it as a rule necessarily. I look at it as it is a common sense thing, because if you alter software, there's no way anyone can support it after that, because they just have no idea what you've done. And why should they spend any time trying to figure it out if you've changed something? That, wow. It does make sense.
Yeah, it's true.
Makes a lot of, so, well, I think Vidir would tell you, I think she was in customer software support. Mm-hmm. If someone changes something, it's hard enough to help them with software you know intimately. If they've changed something, you will never be able to figure out in a prescribed amount of time what that change and how it affected the rest of the code. So you'd be wasting your time trying to figure it out.
Yeah, right. If you're that smart, then you could probably figure the rest out yourself.
Well, yeah, maybe, unless someone did it for you. Give me 2 minutes here.
All right.
Hey, Kay.
Hey.
Are you emptying the dishwasher, so I was like, I better mute it.
What are you listening to these days in the audio formats? Or are you, what kind of research you've been doing lately? Anything interesting?
Well, I hadn't listened to Lennon Honor for quite some time, but then I just started listening to him again because I'm giving him $50 a month for premium membership.
What? How much? Mm-hmm.
50.
Wow. What is that?
Oh, he's worth it. He is a data keeper.
Are you shilling for Lennon now? Thank you for disclosing that important fact. Whoa. I was going to ask you how he made a living. I guess I know now.
Yeah, he has premium membership. He didn't used to do that. He used to just rely on donations, and at a time it did just donations. I mean, they didn't live great. You know, they had a car that for six people that only fit five at one point, you know, stuff like that. So he struggles financially, obviously. He discusses it openly in his videos.
Wow. Wow, wow. That's amazing, actually.
But he is a data keeper. He's a record keeper. He watches what goes on and he records it. So he has data. Everything he says is backed up by data. Everything. So I can verify it for myself. So that's what attracts me to Lennon Honor. Now, he does have a spiritual talk and a course, accept it or don't, but I'm interested in the data part.
Mm-hmm.
He has a manhood talk. You know, he does a lot of different stuff in media fakery, or the 9/11 fear-based mind control program is one part of everything he does. So I've, you know, been kind of exploring those different parts, see what they're like. See what I agree with, see what I don't.
Does his wife give a womanhood talk, which might be more applicable to you?
She does. Yeah, she does her videos too.
Wow.
So they're just such a kind and wonderful family. And oh my God, those boys, those little girls. And he shares his family with everyone, which, you know, I think is a really good idea. If you want to see what controlled opposition looks like and what a free man looks like, watch Lennon Honor. You'll be like, that's what a free man looks like. A man operating under his own desires. That's Lennon Honor.
Wow.
So he's kind of like my touchstone a lot now.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, that explains a little more why you reference him. You invest in him and his information.
Well, I didn't actually. It's funny because when I finally started giving him money, I stopped listening to him. And the only reason I started listening to him again, I was actually going to take him off. I was going to end the payment because I didn't listen to him. I'm like, well, how am I paying for this dude? I'm not. So I said, okay, I'll give him one more chance. And so now I'm like, oh, that's why I listen now. And I'm like back to listening again. He uses data. Everything he says can be backed up by his record keeping. So, and you can verify that for yourself. So
well, can you give me one example of what you're talking about with the data?
Oh, like he does, he's doing this thing about NWA. Niggas
with
Attitude.
I got to watch that.
Yeah, where he analyzes their song lyrics. And so what he says is, this is a program. It's a demographic specific program of mind control on black youth. So these hip hop videos, they're not entertainment. They're instructions. That's what they are. And our youth are falling for it. So that's what he's about. And he points it out now. What about data? So he analyzes the song lyrics. What percentage of words uses bitch? What percentage of word uses, you know, whore? Or what percentage of the word uses like, you know, whatever? And it's like overwhelmingly negative song after song after song. You know, he's like, who wants to call their beautiful sisters, their beautiful wives a bitch and a whore? Who wants that? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to do that. But why is it in song after song after song?
Wasn't there a controversy about the movie Straight Outta Compton and him?
Yeah, so he's also analyzing that. He saw it, and then he's going to do a whole... He's been doing a crowdfunding campaign for his most recent movie. Yeah, analyzing Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, I got to watch that. Well, I don't have to watch it, but I would like to watch it.
Well, it's good, because, you know, right, you're like, am I interested in this kind of field? But what he does is it's like a case study of how people get manipulated. Like, yeah. Oh, that's a technique. Oh, that's another technique there. Repetition is another technique, you know?
Yeah. Have you watched
it over
movie?
And over? No, I haven't. I have not yet. I don't know. Me and my husband were kind of off movies for a little bit because, like, the last four movies we rented, there's like, like a naked young dude masturbating right in the middle of the movie. I'm like, why am I watching this? I'm like, ugh. And another one, a guy's like completely naked, just having sex. I'm like, wait a minute. This is what? I didn't watch this movie for this. So
what are
like,
you watching, Kay?
Just regular movies that appear on TV. I'm like, I don't know why they have to keep inserting these. I'm considered myself kind of liberal, you know. And it's like, but they're clearly making everybody uncomfortable and tense by that. The audience.
Yeah.
Is it on purpose?
Yeah, I suppose. It's pretty dramatic.
But so Lennon Honor says it's all on purpose. It's all part of the programming. It's programming. You know, all media is programming. It's not entertainment. Don't fool yourself. It's programming. It's instructions on how you should behave.
How about the No Agenda show? Are you still listening to that?
Mm-hmm. Once in a while. Not on a regular basis. You can't listen to anything on it. Even Lennon Honor, you have to stop. Get off it, get back on it, because you have new clarity when you come back to anything after a break.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I'm sure Adam is in the biz. He's part of the CIA network that his Uncle Don and his dad and his mom and his sister and his aunt and his cousin and his brother are all part of. It would be highly unlikely he would not be recruited.
Yeah, well, he doesn't hide it, does he?
Well, he can't. It's obvious. He just goes with it.
Does he ever address that?
Yeah, all the time.
Does he just laugh it off?
Yeah, he laughs, exactly.
Yeah, he laughs it off. That's a big joke, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, even in this last show, they've all got degrees and they're doing this, and I'm just a podcaster. Ha ha ha. They're so smart, I'm so dumb. Ha ha ha. There's no way I could keep up with them. Ha. I'm like, you're trying really hard to... make yourself look bad there, Mr. Adam Curry.
Yeah, interesting.
He's clearly not dumb.
Oh, he's very smart. He's definitely in the media. Has been his whole life, so that's his career.
Right. And he's a liar, too, by the way.
What
Smith
did he
Munt
lie about?
Act. I'm going to say it. Smith Munt Act, Mr. Adam Curry. You know damn well what that's about. That's not about if we can propagandize or not. It's about who pays for it. It's just about funding. There's nowhere that says propagandizing is illegal. The Smith-Mundt Act said instead of these people paying, pays, instead of this funds that's going to pay for propaganda, this fund will pay for propaganda. That's all it says. That's the Smith-Mundt Act. So when Adam Curry pretends that he, you know, that it's about, what does he say, that, oh, now for the first time the U.S. can propagandize, he's full of shit. He's a lying piece of shit, Adam Curry. Shame on you for misleading the people.
Well, is he lying or is he just misrepresenting it? Because I understood it to be this, and I have to think about this for a minute. What they were saying is the United States government could produce material, specifically the Voice of America, as long as it was broadcast outside these United States. They could spend money telling everyone about the United States or the United States' mission via Voice of America, as long as it was broadcast outside the United States, did not originate in the United States. But what, because of the internet, they figured that people were able, of course, to listen to these broadcasts that were originating out of the United States in the United States in very easily because of the internet. Of course, we can listen or stream audio or video from other countries through all kinds of different ways. And so they basically just said, since we cannot stop it, then we may as well just allow it and make it legal. That's what I thought it meant.
I guess you got to read it. Once you read it, you have to just go online and read the original wordings.
Does it say anything like that?
It talks about funding. It talks about funding. They have rationalizations that lead up to the act itself and whereas this and this and stuff like that. But, you know, then they kind of say what you're saying. But the actual act itself talks about funding. So it's a funding issue.
It has nothing to do with what I said, though?
Well, that's part of the rationalization that they had. Really, the Smith-Mundt Act was for a specific agency to do a specific task, and that task was overseas during World War II. Now it's determined that that's not needed anymore. Well, they don't need to have it anymore. But let me look there. I know what you're saying, because I also read something about the need for the Smith-Mundt Act. So I think what they were doing is instead of spending the money in this spot, now they can spend, because it's something like there's these Somali communities and they don't watch the media, so we have no effect on them. What we have to do is go to where they watch and then we can propagandize properly. So the money that was going to be spent overseas now can be spent in the U.S. so that these Somali, you know, enclaves who don't watch modern media, they can be affected too.
That's okay.
About funding, about money going from one spot to another. That's it. One out of probably sources of funding for propaganda. It's just one. And the fact that he keeps bringing it up, why don't we talk about all the other sources of propaganda funding? Holy shit. There's like millions of them.
So you're saying Smith-Mundt is a very minor bill. And it's serving as a red herring for the whole propaganda industry.
Right.
It's really a very minor thing. And it's by harping on it, you're avoiding the real big picture of how persistent propaganda is throughout the U.S. in so many other ways. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah. That's
including
perfect.
Possibly
it's in every
his show.
Television show. Right, because like force feed you the news. Some of those news segments are way too long to be entertaining. Yet he plays them on and on. It's like your daily dose. You listen to
I enjoy the show. I've always liked John before I even knew who Adam Curry was. And there's a lot of interesting things they bring up. I would have never heard of movies, documentaries that I would never heard of. I just watched something called Prescription Thugs that Adam was yapping about. That was pretty interesting on the pharmaceutical business. How the entire United States is addicted to legal drugs, pretty much.
Because they're prescribed to us. Every time I take my mom, you know, she had a stroke.
Okay, yeah.
2 years ago. Now I'm involved with their medicine. That's otherwise I wouldn't know. Every time I take my mom to the doctor and there's a complaint about one medicine causing a side effect, the dang doctor wants to prescribe another medicine. I mean, so we're like three deep now. This causes this, so you have this medicine, this. I'm like, stop, can we please? I want to go natural. Okay, let's try and go natural as we can here. Because we're pretty sure it was her high blood pressure medicine that caused her AFib, which collected blood clots, which was her stroke. But she didn't even need to take the damn medicine anyway. It was a negligible level. Oh, I could go on.
Yes.
Well, anyway. So now it's like one medicine to combat the side of, or the effects of another medicine. It's just ridiculous. But she's pushing it. That's what they learn in med school. Push those pharmaceuticals. Push them. I mean, what is med school except a huge mind control program? That's the Monarch program, maybe. It's med school. Modern medicine. That's the Monarch program, too.
Well, it's funded by the big pharma. They pay for medical school, pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know my brother is a history buff?
Monarch. They fund the damn thing. That's as monarch as you need.
Right. But it's
your brother?
Yeah, did you ever, where did the American Medical Association come from in the first place?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it an accident how they get in bed with the government? Well, there was a fight, my brother was telling me, and same with the American Dental Association. There were opposing groups, but EMA... through a lot of dirty deeds, they won out and became the government ally. Same with the American Dental Association. There were like two groups. One that said no lead in the mouth. and cavities in another that says yes, lead and yes, okay. fluoride. Well, guess what group won? And backed by like Rockefeller, all these groups were backed by the Rockefeller Foundation that eventually yeah. won out. It was crazy control. I mean, think about that. It's like, it's continuous. It's a continuous striving for control. All you can do is what? Just like choose not to play. Like Chris Kendall says, I choose not to play. I don't play that.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. It's, yeah. I understand that. That makes sense. The, I'm looking into the vaccination stuff a lot. That's pretty interesting stuff. And yeah. Someone sent me a link to that.
Did you, I looked up how they know a vaccine is effective or not.
I can hardly wait. How?
Okay. So they got a Petri dish. Okay. And in it are like human cells. They're growing.
Okay.
So they have this slurry made from either previous batches or from the blood or from another liquid from some animal assumed to be infected with it. And then they take the slurry and they put it on the Petri dish. You know, they do what they do to whatever, put it together, synthesize it, strain it, well, all that good stuff. And then what's yeah. left over, they put it on the Petri dish. If the cells shrink up, is it human cells? I don't know. But anyway, cells, you put the slurry on it and they shrink up and get all, I don't know if they die, but they have a reaction and something. So they're like, oh, it's good. It works. And that's the vaccine mm-hmm. then they put in humans.
How scary is that?
So you see, they can't even identify vaccines under a microscope, by the way. There's only actually one vaccine, but it's not anything that harms humans that they can actually see under a microscope. The rest, they're all just kind of making it up.
Well,
they haven't actually seen it. So then if they don't know, the vaccine, the virus is what I'm talking about. I haven't seen the virus under the microscope. So if they haven't seen the virus, then you're not going to see the vaccine. Then you're not going to know what you're looking for. And so what are we looking at? What is actually going on here? What is this industry about if we can't see it and we can't really identify it and we think we isolated the thing? I mean, you see what magic they're doing?
They're taking advantage of the fact that you can't see anything. So they make up a story and build around it.
Mm. And we just stand in line, roll your sleeve up. Going on.
Did you, I was reading on a website called whale.to, and there's a lot of stuff on there. Someone sent me the link. And in Britain, there was an anti-vaccination party in the late 1800s. That was their sole purpose, is to stop forced vaccination in England.
Wow.
And obviously they lost.
That's not good news.
Yeah, they
fighting that today.
Yeah, the history is amazing that we don't get to know. And at the time, London was very dirty. There was lots of disease festering in the streets because there was no sanitation, even though the technology existed all the way back to the Roman Empire, but for some reason they weren't practicing it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, this vaccination theory by Dr. Jenner, I believe, was bubbling up. And as sanitation progressed, so was the vaccination theory. Because they were happening simultaneously, it was difficult to determine what was causing the improved health of people.
Is that the one around polio? Because I know the same scenario happened with polio.
No, it was before that. This was smallpox. It was called cowpox before because it was only related to cows. And I don't know exactly.
Was that the 1800s time period we're talking about here?
Yeah. It probably had more to do with the fact that people lived close by to their animals and maybe certain sicknesses were caused by just living too close to animals and their filth.
Right.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's easy to figure out with like an epidemiological study. Back in the 1800s in England, the Thames was super polluted.
Right. And they drank
and
from it.
People. Right. So what they found out is that the plague was getting spread, but like where and why it was just happening in different parts of the city.
Yes.
They couldn't figure it out. But when they looked at some doctor was like, let's chart all this and see where it's coming. They were wells or in water pumps that took water straight from the Thames. Those were the areas of the city where people were getting sick.
Yeah.
It's like, There you go. Stop drinking from the Thames, you idiots.
Well, stop drinking downriver from the sewage. Stop drinking downriver from the sewage runoff, right?
Exactly. So look how good data is. Look what it can resolve, issues like that. But with vaccine, there has never been an epidemiological study to prove effectiveness. So what I mean is they've never taken two or nearly identical populations, one vaccinated everyone and one not. Right, and then see who gets sick that season and who doesn't get sick, or who gets the flu or who gets the mumps or whatever, you know. They've never done it, and they won't ever do it because it will show it's not effective. That's why.
Yes, and they've never had to show it's effective. Really, the argument for these guys is that sanitation is what saves and has saved people's lives. Mm-hmm. Combine that with the other major way people get ill. People, I don't even have an answer to this. Why does everyone in a class get chicken pox at the same time? What is it? Is chicken pox a bacteria? Because that, if viruses don't exist.
Well, I mean, something exists. Call it a virus, call it whatever you want, but it behaves.
What is it if we can't see it? What are we talking about? Bacteria exists. You can grow it, culture.
Right, right. Well.
And
it makes
good
it interacts with proteins, right, and white blood cells, and so changes happen to the body that you can see. That way, we can see what's going on.
Bacteria we can grow. I think that's real.
Right.
And bacteria that's in the wrong part of your body causes harm if it breaks through certain barriers that your biology and your body creates. Then you have problems, and malnutrition causes problems because the cells in the body can't build themselves properly. Without nutrition.
Right. That's called AIDS right there. Malnutrition.
<Yeah. laughs> Really. And thirdly, chemical poisoning, organics that are able to break bonds in your cellular structure because of the powerful nature of their chemical bonding. That is probably the third way that really makes people sick. I think those three are all that any combination thereof of those three things is what causes human ill health. There's nothing else, and it's just a different combinations of those. And really, you know, I said to my wife, I said, if vaccinations were so good for us, then why do we have to be forced to take them? The whole herd immunity thing to me is just another lie. That's just another giant lie to shame people into following along. You don't want to offend the group, but. If we had to force people to do things to fix their health, then they should force by legislation everyone to eat broccoli daily.
There you go, the broccoli bill. Agree.
Everyone must eat broccoli every day because eating raw vegetables most likely is a definite. There's definite links to good health if we do that.
Oh,
so why don't we do that?
Good health. You know how you said you're like looking for good videos and stuff?
Yeah.
Dr. Mercola. He is amazing. Oh, I love him. I'm an American.
Is he the old guy with the white mustache?
No, he's bald now. He's thin on the thin side. But he talks only if it's effectiveness. You know, he breaks things down easy to understand. You know, about how the body works. If you got gout, right? How to treat gout naturally, drmercola.com. Okay. If you got kidney stones, you want to get rid of them, he'll give you a good diet to start on. He just talks about everything. I talked about cellulite. You know, I looked him up for cellulite. Not for me.
Not for you.
Not for me. I don't know why you would think that. Not for me. But, and he's like, don't buy lotions and cream. I mean, he gets down to the dirt of everything. And he's real black and white.
Not for me.
But so he's like, it's all about what you eat. Everything is about what you eat. You have to first make your body healthy. That's the number one thing. Because your body
cures
it. Yes. And he cuts through all the dirt and grime, and he says it's simple. He helps you understand how it works instead of complicate your brain. And he doesn't do any scare tactics or anything like the Health Ranger or anything like that.
Okay.
I recommend him to everyone.
I will look into that.
On the computer. I'm making vitamin D right now.
I'm back. 2212. Rollo check.
Check 1-2.
Hey, we got to get Vidir back. Is Vidir ever going to come back?
Yeah.
Are
you know, you get You hear me? Check
with. Are you still in contact with her?
Yeah, yeah. We chat about once. Well, we used to chat about twice a week, and then once a week, and now once every 2 weeks. I don't like that pattern.
It's binary.
So, but yeah, we still chat back and forth.
Yeah.
But she's just busy, cool. Got, you know, family stuff going on. And
I hear you. We're all busy. You can't do this forever unless you're paid, right?
It seems to be truth there. Yeah, that seems to be.
Yeah, I agree with that to some degree, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you said there's a plane crash right now that just happened in Egypt?
That's what I heard. I haven't looked into it today. I've been away from the media all day. It's great. Just been busy. Well, now I've been talking to you for an hour or so. But yeah, Egypt Air, the numbers are off the charts. Folksy, about all I know.
Mm-hmm. You know what's
know
funny, nothing. Though?
No.
I think there's a rule to make them all look hoaxy. Can't tell the real ones from the fake.
Well, I wish we knew which ones were real. Is there a good list of real ones? I don't know.
Well, I try and, like, I know a story's true from first, you know, or secondhand experience. I try to compare that one, you know, to ones that I'm pretty sure are fake. You know, I'm always trying to compare these stories. You know, is it obvious? Is there a tell between a fake story and a real story? You know, I'm trying to see the difference. But what I noticed is there really isn't any. I have a bikini barista story for you. You ready?
What kind of story?
A bikini barista.
Something barista.
Bikini barista.
Zucchini barista.
Bikini? Bathing suit bikini? Do you guys have those?
A bikini barista. I don't even know what that is. Is it something to eat?
Oh, really? Well, it's a big deal here in Washington. What a bikini. It's a drive-through coffee place. They're in bikinis.
No, I don't have. It's too cold. Everyone's still wearing their fur coats, beaver pelts.
They do it at all in your city?
No.
Ever in the summer?
No,
really?
I've never heard of it. I think someone tried to do a bikini car wash, but, you know, people are too cheap.
Oh, my God. The state of Washington, there's a ton of them. A ton of bikini baristas. And every once in a while, you accidentally go through one with your husband, and you're both just a little embarrassed. You didn't realize she's going to be, and usually in bikini, you know, a super small bikini, and then bottom, there's no bottom on it. It's just, you know, it's a thong bottom. So her whole thing is hanging out. You're cute girls, though. You know, hey, I admire your beauty, sweetheart. What do you tell them? It's like, oh, hi. You're pretty. You really are.
And what do they serve you? What's a barista? Is that a coffee? What is a barista again? Is that a coffee?
To stand. There's a chain here, Hot Chick-a-Lot.
Sorry, I'm in a bad area, okay? Just give me a second. I'll get out of it. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me now? Okay. Kay disappeared. Okay. Kay, are you back under another assumed identity? Hello, Kay. 2212, Kay. Can you hear me?
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.